see Morgan in the Next Tier Bank studios. Next Tier Bank, your hometown community bank. Dave Mullarkey is coming up next with It's Your Turn. Thanks for joining us, and have a good day.
And now, it's your turn with Dave Mullarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Mullarkey.
Good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to be with us on the Friday edition of It's Your Turn. January weather is back, or I guess more accurately, I could say it's here for the first time, really, because, wow, the first half of January was unbelievable. Last Saturday was 70 degrees. This morning we had, what, 21, a little bit earlier. We have come up a little bit, but it's not going to be real hot today, despite the sunshine. And tomorrow, as you just heard Tracy saying, a little dicey with a wintry mix. We're not quite sure what we're in for tomorrow. Well, we know what we're in for on the It's Your Turn program today, however. I'm looking forward to a wonderful chat with Butler native and now resident of London, England, Kristen Hibbs, who's back home for a visit with family and with us here in the studio. Kristen, it's good to see you again.
Thank you, Dave. Great to be back.
Can a whole year have gone by since we said hello already?
It has, and I just don't know where 2019 went.
I say that every year at this time, though.
Yeah. No, I think this year was a real roller coaster. It was exceptionally busy at the Science Museum this year, and yeah, goodness, I just can't imagine, you know, having any more years that were that fast-paced again.
Well, I have a few things I've jotted down that I want to chat with you about, and I'm sure you have some things, but let's first set the stage for listeners who may not know who you are, or perhaps we're not listening. We have had a chance to chat with Kristen for the past several years because she usually comes home to visit family at or around the holidays.
Yes, I've got nieces and nephews with birthdays. So, yeah, very important little people that I have to visit.
Kristen graduated from Butler High School.
That's right, yep.
She's an architect. She studied architecture at Cincinnati?
University of Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But when you were still in high school, for the first time, you got to experience Europe.
Yeah.
How did that happen? Review that for our listeners.
Yeah, that's right. So it was 10th grade, I think, and I had George Kenders as a German teacher.
George is a good friend of mine. I know yeah. George very well.
And he had been a Fulbright scholar, so he had been over in Germany outside of Munich for, mm-hmm. I think, for a year on an exchange, and the teacher that he was exchanging with, they arranged between the two schools to have a student exchange. And so I was a part of the first class that went over to Munich. I think we went for 3 weeks in the summertime, mm-hmm. as a part of, and went to class with our sort of exchange host families. And then that group of Germans came over to Butler and they went to school with us here for 3 weeks. And it was just a remarkable, positive, life-changing experience for me. I mean, I met really good people that I'm still very good friends with today, and that families that we keep in touch, and we've been to weddings and celebrated important life events together. And I think for my parents, it probably, I don't know whether they would describe it as the same. I mean, certainly life-changing for them as well, but I think they still hold a little something against Herr Kenders for opening a door that I don't seem to have been able to close again.
Did you know at that time, you couldn't have known at that time, that you were going to end up working and living in Europe?
No, but as soon as I came back, I knew that I needed to get back there. It sort of became, I mean, alongside knowing that I was interested in architecture, I also knew that I needed to get back to Germany. And those two things sort of became tied together. And so as I was even looking at colleges when I was deciding where to go to school, whether or not they had either an exchange program or an opportunity to do internships in Germany was actually one of the key criteria.
Something you were looking for.
Absolutely.
Huh? Well, I want to talk about what Kristen's doing now, but we may have somebody on the phone here who wants to say hi. I'm not sure. Hello, you have a comment for our guest, Kristen Hibbs?
Hi, Kristen. Welcome back home.
I just wanted
to make an announcement. If anyone was out drinking late last night, there's a white Buick ditched in my front yard up on the hillside and at the bottom of Pheasant and Woodlands in the Woodlands.
Okay. Well, we appreciate that, and I'm sure Kristen appreciates you saying hi to her as well. Yeah. Thanks for the call, my friend. Thank you.
All right. See you, Kristen. See you, Dave.
Okay. Bye.
Someone wanted to say hi and welcome home for a little while.
All right.
It's nice.
Yeah. Good.
You are now the head of design at the Science Museum in London?
That's right, yes. Oh. Yeah, I've been with the Science Museum now for 7.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's been amazing. It's been a really exciting job. I didn't know that much about science and engineering as a subject matter before I started, but I suppose that's one of the things that I think has been most rewarding about the job, is that with every project that I get to work on, I get to learn so many new things about different topics and things that are in the news today, where we're telling stories about the latest scientific advancements or medical treatments. All of it sort of comes new to me as well, just as a regular visitor, but then I really get to immerse myself in those subject areas, and that's quite an exciting additional part to my job.
Well, I want to talk about somebody you met. I got an email from you last year. I forget exactly when it was, but it was this email from Kristen that said, "You're not going to believe this. I got to meet the Queen." And you did. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that happened this year. I think that's part of why this year has felt like a blur to me. That was the 7th of March. Mm-hmm. At approximately 11:37 a.m. so I had been the director for a project at the museum that I'd been working on for about 3.5 years, which was to create what we've called the Smith Center. It's a corporate hospitality center, a suite of really nice rooms that the museum can use for fundraising activities.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a really beautiful architectural project. I worked with some really great designers and engineers on it. And to mark the opening of the Smith Center, the Science Museum sent an invitation request to Her Majesty the Queen. And she accepted, which was incredible. And I couldn't quite believe it. And there's an awful lot of planning, as you can imagine, in throwing a party that is going to be attended by the Queen. And there's a lot of pre-meetings in the run-up to the event. Lots of arrangements need to be made.
To say nothing of security measures.
Absolutely, yes. All of that was very fascinating, just to see how they operate and, you know, what goes into the planning. But then on the day, we had such a lovely party. And effectively, this visit marked probably her last visit to the Science Museum. And she had been visiting the Science Museum since she was a child. So it was an opportunity for us to find all of the old photographs of all of her visits prior that we could show her, which was very nice. And we were able to invite groups of school children in to also be there. And they demonstrated for her they had some robotic programming workshops earlier in the morning, and then they were able to demonstrate for the Queen what they had built and how it worked, which was really nice, I'm sure very exciting for the children. And then the museum invited 5 or 6 Science Museum colleagues who were then put in a greeting line that were able to meet the Queen, and I was one of them, which was an absolute delight. And she and I have to say, looked remarkable together. She was wearing this incredible tangerine dress and matching hat. and I was wearing a navy dress and a matching tangerine necklace. And I think one of her ladies-in-waiting even commented that we looked very nice together. But she gets introduced to you. So she gets escorted around the room.
Okay.
And what's so remarkable when she's in the room is that everyone goes quiet as she approaches. And if you can imagine going through life, walking into a room where suddenly everything goes quiet, how bizarre that would be.
Indeed. Unnerving, actually.
But everyone goes quiet, and then there's a sort of murmur, and it just sort of follows her presence around the room. And she's quite short, so you can't really always see where she is, but you know exactly where she is in the room, which is really exciting. And so she gets introduced to you, and I was introduced as Kristen Hibbs, and she asked me, what do I do at the museum? And I told her that I was the head of design, but that I was responsible for the project that we were celebrating. And then she had a follow-up question for everyone. And with mine, she repeated the word design, which I thought was fun. And then she said, oh, you must be really happy that the project is completed. And I said, yes, indeed, I am. This is wonderful today. And then she moves on. And so, you know, she's exceptionally skilled at knowing how to give you a very brief moment that feels like it was just yours,
mm-hmm.
but then equally not asking too open of a question that she can't then very swiftly move on to the next person.
Yeah. Does she shake hands?
We shook hands.
Really?
Yes, and I practiced and did a little curtsy, which was, I met the Queen. That's...
Now, you had met other members of the royal family in the past, right?
I have, but I was never in the receiving line, so I've been in the room once before, actually, for the Queen, when she attended our Information Age gallery opening, and she sent her first tweet. That was in 2014. And then Prince Charles has come to the museum for opening events. I did meet Princess Anne, and that was actually quite exciting. She came for the opening of our Clockmakers Museum. And then, yes, to have the Queen come back, and for a project that I had worked so hard on, it was just... It's a career highlight. It's a life highlight.
I can understand that. You mentioned it was probably her last visit because of her age. She's like in her mid-90s now, I think, right?
That's right, yeah.
She's probably not going to be doing as many of these personal visits anymore.
I mean, I can't speak for her, obviously, but it does appear that she's not slowing down exactly for her age, but yes, mm-hmm. I think, and it's been in the news quite a lot lately anyways, that there's quite a lot of, I suppose, they're planning for the future at the moment in terms of who's going to be taking on which roles. So
So that was back in March.
That was in March, yes.
I remember the day I got the email from you. I said, what is Kristen texting me about today in March? And then there it was, the Queen.
Yes, I couldn't quite contain myself. I had to share the news.
I'm so glad you did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about you that day. Kristen Hibbs is with us, a Butler native who has lived in and worked in Europe for quite some time, in London for the past several years, where she is head of design at the Science Museum. Where is the Science Museum, by the way, in London?
So we're located in South Kensington, which is in the west side of the city. It's in an area that was, it was referred to as Albertopolis. It was sort of born out of the 1851 Great Exhibition, where Queen Victoria and Prince Albert wanted to create a cultural center, something that would rival the great cultural centers of, say, Vienna or Berlin. And originally we were sort of a part of the South Kensington Museum, which included natural history collections, art and design, industrial collections, and the science collections. And then gradually over time, those three main collections split into three museums that you can visit today: the Victoria and Albert Museum, the Natural History Museum, and the Science Museum. And we're sort of walking distance, I would say, from things like Buckingham Palace or...
Yeah, that and Royal Albert Hall is right there.
Correct, yeah. That's a part of that original cultural center as well as the Imperial College London. So it was really a center for learning and culture.
Mm-hmm. It's a bit of a walk, but you could, I mean, it's within walking distance of Buckingham Palace. Certainly that general area of London.
Yes, and we're just south of some of the big parks in the city.
Hyde Park is right nearby.
That's right, Hyde Park mm-hmm. and Green Park, which is such a great asset to have that you could walk up there and eat your lunch in the park if you wanted to and get a little bit of fresh air and a break from all of the hard surfaces of the city.
I've been blessed to be in London a few times, three or four times. I always liked St. James Park. Which is smaller
yes.
than Hyde Park, but mm-hmm. it always seems so peaceful with the duck pond there.
It is, yeah, the pond and the trees. It's very nice. Hmm. It connects to some nice parts of the city as well when you break out of it.
We're talking with Kristen Hibbs. We need to take a break. We have a lot more to talk about, though, because this past year has been a busy one for Kristen in London, and there's lots of other things happening that we want to discuss with her. But we need to take a break, so let's do that. We'll continue with our Friday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR right after these words.
Armco Credit Union has one sweetheart of a loan rate waiting for you. Hi, I'm Kurt Heekins, loan manager at Armco Credit Union. And whether you're thinking of buying a vehicle or refinancing a loan from another financial institution, now is the time to take advantage of our low, low rates. Now through February the 29th, you can get a 60-month auto loan for as low as 2.25 annual percentage rate. Check out armcocu.com for other rates and terms. Apply for a loan online or visit us in person.
Armco Credit Union is an equal opportunity lender and is federally insured by NCUA.
I can't remember the last time I went to the dentist. Now I'm too embarrassed to go because my teeth are in such bad condition.
Unfortunately, this person is not alone. Many folks put off going to the dentist because they fear being scolded for neglecting their teeth. This is Dr. Bob Todd with a special message. Dentistry today is faster, easier, and better than ever before. At our dental office, we don't believe in making you feel guilty, no matter how long it has been since you've seen a dentist. We know fear and embarrassment can cause a cycle of procrastination. If it has been years since you've been to the dentist, call us today. We will help put your mind at ease and bring your smile back to health.
If you hate going to the dentist but know you have a dental problem, help is only a phone call away. Dr. Bob Todd and his friendly dental team will answer all your questions and care for all your concerns. For complimentary information or to schedule an appointment at their Butler office on Evan City Road, please call 282-7774 or on the web at butlersmiles.com.
Hey, Kristen Hibbs is with us today, Butler native who is now the head of design of the Science Museum in London, has lived there for quite a few years, but she's home for a visit with family. I'm sure your family's happy to see you when you come back. Huh?
Yeah, it's always nice to be back.
Now, they get to go visit you every once in a while, too, right?
Yeah, they do. My parents enjoy coming over. They've got their own room now in my flat, so, and they've got all of their locals and their favorite hangouts all sussed out, so that's quite good. And my sister's been over several times as well, but she's got some little kids now, so it'll be a few years before she comes back over. But I've been lucky in that my family has actually enjoyed traveling, and so they've always come to visit me. So I think that has always made it a bit easier to live so far away, because I know that they also know the places that I see every day, and they know what my day-to-day life looks like, and mm-hmm. and they enjoy coming to visit.
And you can now take direct flights, thank goodness, from Pittsburgh to London.
Oh, I know.
It's a lot easier, too.
Oh, it's just brilliant now.
Yeah,
I think I said this last year. I think BA should give me a discount for promoting them, but the direct flight from British Airways, Pittsburgh to London.
They resumed that. They had it for a while years ago, and now they've resumed it
again.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's great
yeah.
for you. Well, you're at work already on another project, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I mean, the museum never stands still. You sort of are always starting something new as you're finishing something. But, my next project, it's a really interesting one. I think it's really important. We're going to create a gallery that's dedicated to 11 to 16-year-olds, so older teenagers. And we want to tell them, we want to highlight for them all of the different jobs that are out there that technicians do within the wider workforce.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an area where, in the UK in particular, there's going to be a lot of technicians who will be retiring over the next 5 to 10 years, which means that there's a massive number of roles going to sort of be opening up. And there seems to be a sort of negative understanding of what technicians do and how important that work is, how well paid that work is, what different industries you can work within, and that you can get into these jobs not necessarily always through, you don't have to have a university degree to do these jobs. You might choose to do technical training in school. I mean, I know that here in Butler where we have the VoTech courses, mm-hmm. I mean, there's an incredible range of courses available to you that provide you with really specific and specialist training that set you up for going into a good job that could, you know, take you in all different directions. And I think for us at the museum, a big part of what our whole vision is about is inspiring futures and really trying to help teenagers, definitely. I want them to it'll be an interactive gallery, lots of try it out for yourself, get hands-on. And I want them to find the skills that they have already, because lots of teenagers are already doing a lot of these things, particularly when it comes to IT and programming and mm-hmm. Working with their computers. But for them to find things that they're interested in, and for us to then open the door for them so that they can see that there's lots of ways that they could take their interests and turn that into a job. And for teachers, for parents, for careers advisors, I think the Science Museum really wants to try and position itself as a place where it's a valuable trip for them to make, because obviously for teachers to bring kids out of school and take them on a trip, it's quite a lot of work that has to go into planning of that. But that this is beneficial both to them, to help them help guide the students, but also for the students to kind of find their own personal interests and hopefully inspire them into some of these much-needed roles.
Now, for your work in particular, do the heads of the museum come to you with some concepts or some ideas, or because you indicated this is probably going to take you a few years to develop this? So.
Yes, that's right. Well, ideas. Interestingly, the Science Museum, through our website, we actually have a way for anybody can write a paper that proposes ideas for the museum to consider.
Oh.
In the case of this project, we're working with a charitable foundation who, through our conversations with them, we've determined that we both have a sort of shared interest in trying to help promote these kinds of roles with young people. And because the Science Museum is one of the most visited museums for educational groups, we have a sort of captive audience, but this slightly older audience group isn't the strongest of our school groups that come. So for us, there's an interest in really trying to speak more clearly and more effectively to that age range, but also because we are a trusted source, schools are coming to the Science Museum. It makes a really great place for us to really try and share these stories and introduce these people's stories to the public, and hopefully in turn impact on the future of industry and technical roles in the UK.
Now, will you be involved in designing the actual exhibit space and how it looks and so on?
Yes, I'm considered the project director, so I will be overseeing the design. That's what I do on all projects for the museum. But I also work alongside the funder, and I work with all the other museum departments who are all contributing their sort of expertise towards the project, so I pull it all together. But we're working with some really exciting designers who are based in Copenhagen in Denmark, called Jack Studios. And I'm really happy to be working with them. They bring a completely different approach to thinking about designing in a playful way.
Mm-hmm.
And really critically for, I think, for young people in that age range, you absolutely cannot design down for them, because everything is about aspirational, what they want to be. And so the design needs to be really quite sophisticated and very welcoming for them. And I see that as a great challenge. You know, it's a really great challenge from a design point of view to think about creating spaces that really feel like, for teenagers, that's their place at the Science Museum.
Do you have to go to Copenhagen because of that?
I'm sure I'm going to need to go there a lot. I think for the project, no doubt.
Not exactly a penance, huh?
It's hard work, but someone has to do it, you know.
When you go to another country in your work, is there a language barrier, or have you become at least semi fluent in a number of languages?
I would say that in general, when we're working with collaborators from around the world at the museum, the language that we do tend to use will be English.
Mm-hmm.
I did live in Denmark though for a few years, so if needed, I could throw out some Danish. But I always found that the Danes spoke such good English. They just spoke it so well that it was almost hard to try and learn Danish, because everyone would automatically switch into English with me.
Yeah. Whenever you open a new, or you will be whenever this is finished, opening a new exhibit, does that mean another part of the museum has to close down, another exhibit goes away, or?
Yeah, that's a great question. It does, actually. And that's sort of a part of the rolling process, I think, for museums.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a finite amount of space.
Exactly, yeah. Yes. So I am taking out a gallery that has been in place for about 20 years now. It was called the Challenge of Materials. It was looking at all kinds of innovation in new materials at that time. Obviously, some of those stories will still be relevant, but other aspects of the stories that gallery was telling, we will have now moved on from it. And that's, I think, probably a pretty common challenge for museums, is that you really want to talk about what's happening today and tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
but you can't tell where technology is going to go, and it changes so fast now. Thinking about how to tell a timeless story so that it can sit comfortably in the museum for 20 years is sort of something that all museums have to try and grapple with.
What's it cost to get into the Science Museum? What's the admission fee?
It's free to go to the Science Museum. In fact, the national museums in the UK are all free.
I mentioned that with a smile because yes, I knew they were free.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that the closest thing we would have here in our region to your science museum would be the Carnegie Science Center in Pittsburgh, I'm guessing.
Yes, yes.
And, of course, there's a fee there. I mean, it's not the end of the world, but it's also not all that cheap either, especially if you're taking a bunch of kids. But it's common in many European countries that their museums are free.
Yeah, I mean, in the UK, national museums receive government funding. That funding has been reducing year on year, and so a lot of museums do struggle a bit with trying to make things balance. But that's sort of the biggest difference, I think, where you've got government-funded national museums in different countries. Those are the ones that will tend to be free admission, where you've got private museums, and the United States tends to have more private museums than national funded museums. That's where you see the entry fee. It's not to say though that the museum, you know, that the Science Museum doesn't really benefit from donations, and we do directly ask for donations because the government funding is guaranteed, but only to a certain extent. And as that decreases, then our ability to do new projects also adjusts, and we have to turn our attention towards different types of funding structures, and really much more like the U.S. model, where you work with individuals, trusts, foundations, commercial partners who might want to support the projects.
when the Queen comes, like she did last year? Does that make the 6 o'clock news? Does that help publicize the museum?
Ooh, yes, definitely.
I didn't know whether they covered her visits to other places.
They
do, or not.
Yes, they always do. And there was quite a lot of publicity around that. Also because the Queen posted her first Instagram post on this visit. Hmm. So the Science Museum has always had, it's always been an interesting place for her in terms of her engagement with new forms of technology. And so to have sent her first tweet and then to have come and posted her first post on Instagram, you know, in the wider world of social media and how we use technology in our everyday lives, those are big moments. So it did get quite a lot of worldwide coverage.
I think it's fascinating, wonderful, actually, that you were able to, you know, part of your advance work was to dig up some photographs of her.
Oh, yeah.
In her earlier years when she was there. Some of our listeners may not realize Queen Elizabeth is the longest reigning monarch in the history of the United Kingdom.
Yes.
Queen Victoria had been the longest reigning, and most people thought nobody would ever break that record, but Queen Elizabeth did within the past year or so. And she lives on, you know. She reigns on. And she was. I've seen pictures of her in World War II when she was a young woman. She, I think, she drove a lorry around during World War II. I've seen pictures of her doing that.
Yeah.
She was a truck driver, you know, in England during World War II. Amazing.
Yes.
She wasn't the queen yet.
No, she wasn't.
Her father was still alive. She was a princess.
Yeah. No, it's a pretty remarkable story.
It is.
I mean, it's also bizarre, but it's pretty remarkable, the things that she has experienced, and I guess the way she was brought up before she became queen, to know that she had such a wide range of skills and that there was a service that she was participating in,
mm-hmm. which she still holds that in high regard today, for sure. We need to take a break. It's wonderful to be able to chat with Kristen, visiting with us here in the studio today. So we'll pick up our conversation again right after these words. It's the Friday edition of It's Your Turn on WISR. We'll be right back. Miller's Shoes, 215 South Main Street in downtown Butler. Folks, you talk about tradition. You realize Miller's Shoes has been in downtown Butler for well over 120 years now. Yeah, that's tradition. That's staying power. Miller's Shoes, your headquarters for shoes for all members of the family. If you're looking for athletic shoes, they've got them for men, women, teens, kids, and they've got all the famous brands, too, right there under one roof. Miller's Shoes has Nike, New Balance, Saucony, Rockport, Keds, Skechers, Easy Spirit, Asics, Pro-Pet, and more. Athletic shoes for the whole family. They've also got Rockport shoes and Trotters, and Hush Puppies, and many other famous name brands as well. Easy Spirit. And they're your local headquarters for America's favorite comfort shoes, SAS. You'll find them for men and women in a variety of styles and colors at Miller's Shoes. You can always count on that great Miller's fit, too. And a friendly smile from the Ciprians. Miller's Shoes, headquarters for shoes for the entire family. 215 South Main Street in downtown Butler, Miller's Shoes.
Home care through Concordia Visiting Nurses includes services which foster recovery, rehabilitation, recuperation, and health education. Ask your doctor about medical support needs at home. Ask for a referral for Concordia Visiting Nurses and enjoy the benefits of skilled practitioners coming to your home to help you feel better. For tips for family caregivers, visit elderpagespittsburgh.com.
You've been so busy getting ready for the holidays that you totally forgot to get your vehicle ready for the winter. No worries. West End Tire and Service kept their snow tire inventory up, but don't wait too long as they're harder to come by later in the season. West End Tire and Service prides itself on offering the same great service, installation, and staff as Siemens provided for years. Their trained technicians will check your air pressure and do tire evaluations for free. Anytime. Stop in to see what's new and be sure to visit them on Facebook. West End Tire Service today, West Cunningham Street next to Battery Warehouse Plus Butler.
Welcome back, good friends. Nice to have you with us on the It's Your Turn program on a Friday. Pretty frigid Friday, despite the sunshine out there. You know, temperatures are only expected to climb at best up to around 30 degrees today. In case you haven't heard, wintry mix expected tomorrow. It could be a real mess for travel on Saturday. We'll see. Maybe we don't get as much as they say, but possibility of snow and freezing rain and sleet and then plain old rain and then back to snow again and yada yada. Kristen Hibbs is with us. Kristen is a native of Butler, graduated from Butler High School. She's an architect, studied architecture at the University of Cincinnati, had a chance to go abroad for some student exchange programs, loved it, and ended up working there. She spent some time in Germany. You said you worked in Copenhagen for a couple of years in Denmark.
Mm-hmm.
But she's been in England, in London, England, for several years now. She is the head of design of the Science Museum in London. And you were telling me during the break, lo and behold, that you've been able to make contact with another Butler High School graduate who's also living and working in Europe.
Yeah, that's right. I had been home for my 20-year high school reunion 2 years ago and reconnected with Victoria Ames, who also grew up here in Butler, and we graduated in the same year. And she and her family have just moved to Zurich. I think they've been there a year and a half now. And I guess from my own experience of, you know, moving that far away from home, mm-hmm. I thought, oh, it might be nice just to have somebody, even though we hadn't been that close in contact after high school, but somebody who knew a bit about you before, you know, before you took on the world. And so we've gotten together quite a few times, and it's been so nice to reconnect. We have a thing now where we plan weekend trips. We try and do one, at least one a year, go to a new city. I've been to Zurich a few times. I have another friend who's also in Zurich, so it's quite a beautiful little city, and it's quite nice then I get to connect them together.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been to see me in London. So, yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
It's been wonderful, yeah.
Zurich is in Switzerland, folks, in case you didn't know that. And European countries are close together. So to go from
like
London
to
Zurich,
to
it would be, you know, it would be like going to Ohio or Indiana or something like that. It's not as big a deal as you might think. Yeah,
distance-wise, it's very similar. It sounds more exotic, I think, but actually it's like, traveling from state to state.
Now, with Brexit coming on,
yes,
is that going to make inter-country travel more difficult for you? Because England, the United Kingdom, won't be in the European Union anymore, so you won't be able to get into that line at the airport or at the customs where you can just zip right through, huh?
Yes. I mean, they haven't exactly defined what that's going to look like yet. I think we've probably got another year. They call it the transition period,
mm-hmm.
where those details will be defined. I'm lucky in that I've got a U.S. passport and a British passport.
Ah, okay.
So in some ways, the worst that will happen is that I will just continue to travel as if I was traveling as an American, in that I would always go in the foreign nationals
mm-hmm.
queue in passport control. And I think more than that is probably thinking about, you know, for all of these people, either British citizens or European citizens who are living in one or the other place. And I know in the studio at the museum, I have a few people who have come from other countries in Europe who are, you know, have been living in the UK. I think for them, understanding what rights they're going to have, their ability to stay where they are or to be able to move around freely, that will be probably a much bigger deal to understand the final terms for residency.
This has been quite controversial, this whole concept of Brexit. It started out as a vote. It was a referendum question. It was a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's been back and forth, and the deadline has been changed and moved. And it's coming up very soon, though,
it
right?
It is now,
I mean,
yes.
It's going to be it.
Yes. I mean, I believe that it's happening now.
I just heard that we had a story this morning, in fact, on CBS Radio News here on WISR, that they have nixed a proposal to have church bells ring across the
yes.
UK whenever the Brexit officially occurs. I don't know who the soundbite that they had on CBS Radio this morning, but the guy said, well, I think it would be rather tacky, don't you think? So the idea of ringing church bells across the
yes.
UK is out. I did hear a week or so ago, though, that they might be trying to make enough repairs to Big Ben to have it chime whenever Brexit occurred, because that's been... been like under repair for the last couple of years, hasn't it?
Yeah, I want to say a year and a half, maybe 2 years now. It's been under repair.
Is it all covered with scaffolding and stuff?
It is, yes. It's covered in scaffold. I think they've got a graphic that represents what the clock looks like wrapped mm-hmm. around the outside of it. And I think they've got one of the faces visible through the scaffolding. I'd like to think, though, that the potential of the clock chiming is strictly related to the fact that it's operational and it would need to chime on the hour anyways, as opposed to it being a celebratory Brexit chime.
Well, you never know the headlines that we hear over here.
Yes.
But I
know that there was a push for that, and I was actually quite pleased that the church decided to take a stance that religion and politics are not one and the same, and that they were not going to
entertain that. The vote for Brexit, which is its shorthand for Britain exiting the European Union, Britain exiting the EU, Brexit. Does it remain controversial? Because the vote was relatively close. Does the country remain polarized over this? Are there still a significant number of people who don't want to see the United Kingdom get out of the EU?
Yes. Yeah. I think it's a fairly polarizing decision. And in bigger cities... somewhat similar to here, in bigger cities you had more people voting to remain
mm-hmm.
Than to leave. And I think probably in many ways it's brought out a lot of ugly in people. There was a lot of, certainly in terms of my impression of the promotion of leaving, that campaign seems to have been playing up on people's sort of fear of other and some level of ignorance of economic situations and some sort of untruths, certainly around the NHS and the funding for that.
National Health Service.
No, right.
Hey, look, we've seen the same thing in this country.
Yeah.
A great polarization over some of these same issues.
Yeah. No. And there's always room for healthy debate. It's not about everybody always having the same opinion. It would be really boring, I think, in life that way. But I think what's unsettling, perhaps, about all of these situations is more the lack of being able to have conversations with people who do have different opinions.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that I've definitely seen a lot in the UK, but likewise, I can see that that's happening here.
It's happened here. It's almost identical, actually.
Yeah.
Now, there are parts of the UK, Scotland, for example, from what I read, they did not want to exit the EU, and I've heard that they might demand another referendum about leaving the UK altogether.
It's definitely something that, people have mentioned in conversation, whether that would come around. It's possible, I suppose, that it could be. I think, I also think there's a situation in Ireland, between Northern Ireland
Absolutely.
And Ireland.
Absolutely. Northern Ireland, four counties, is part of the United Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
The border is, it's like walking across the street, and there are thousands, tens of thousands of people who live in Northern Ireland but work in the Republic of Ireland, and vice versa, who live in the Republic and work in Northern Ireland. And they become used to, for many, many years now, just, you know, driving to work. There are there's no passport control, there's no customs or anything at the border. Will there be when Brexit happens? They're not sure quite how that's going to work yet.
Yeah, I think I find it really difficult to try and untangle or understand really what the plans entail and what impact that will have.
Is this like the top story on the news every day there?
It is pretty much in the news every day, yeah. And in some ways, over the past year, it's felt like a lot of stop-start. Because obviously for example, the museum, it will impact us. It will impact us in terms of potentially the government funding. It will impact us in terms of perhaps a dip in tourist numbers. And a large proportion of our visitors are actually tourists who are coming from other places. Mm-hmm. It will have an impact on us in terms of the contractors or the suppliers, individuals and the companies that we work with that are based in the EU and slow things down or increase the price. All of these things will impact sort of our daily life in the museum, but it's hard to know exactly how. And so therefore, it's quite hard to make some concrete plans for it other than to mention it's a risk.
As if we didn't have enough to worry about, right, with our daily lives. Let's take another break. We'll be back and continue our conversation with Kristen. Nice to have her with us here on the It's Your Turn program today. We'll be back right after this.
Plan ahead. We've all learned from experience that living day to day can lead to too many last minute surprises. Surprises that are often difficult and frustrating to handle. And so it is with a funeral. Planning a proper funeral takes pre-planning, so that during periods of grieving and turmoil, you'll want those arrangements to already be taken care of. Thompson Miller Funeral Home in Butler has been pre-planning funerals for more than 90 years, and the third generation of the same family is here to help you with that planning process now. Make these choices now. The funeral service, the choice of caskets, which minister, priest, or rabbi, cremation, visitations, flowers, church service or not, all these decisions can be made now before your emotions get in the way of logical and practical decisions. Pre-plan now with Thompson Miller. Think about it, and then call us and meet with us to discuss it privately. Call 724-287-3706. 287-3706. Pre-arrangements. It really makes sense. Thompson Miller Funeral Home at the corner of East North and McCain Streets in downtown Butler. Thompson Miller, because we care.
Time for a checkup for your pet. We recommend Suburban Animal Clinic. Or maybe Fido or Tabby's not feeling so well. Suburban Animal Clinic, a small animal veterinary practice located Route 8 south of Butler at the intersection with Thorncrest Drive. It's about 5 miles south of Butler. Suburban Animal Clinic, in the spirit of Dr. Dennis Damon. Their services include wellness checks for your pet, of course, also emergency care. They have laser therapy, dental available. Also, prescription diets. You know, one of the things that are problems for a lot of our pets these days, being overweight. Microchipping, they can handle that as well. Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8, south of Butler. If you're headed south from Butler toward Pittsburgh, as soon as you pass all the auto dealerships, start looking on your left. That's Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8 south at Thorncrest Drive. Kristen Hibbs is with us on the It's Your Turn program today. I got so many things to talk about. I hope I can get to all of them here in the the time that we have available. Here in this country, you've been here for what, a week now? I don't know,
yeah.
10 days, mm-hmm. something like that. You've heard that the story of Prince Harry and his wife have... You know, there was a while there last week where it was a headline news. Every newscast in this country,
Yeah,
rather incredible considering that it's,
you know, there was a lot of coverage.
Not even this country. Was this story getting this much play in Britain, or would it have been in Britain?
I'm sure it was. Sure it was. I think this all somehow circles back around to, I feel like there's just an awful lot of ugliness in people, which is kind of finding its way into lots of different channels. I can't imagine what it's like to be hounded in such a way.
I agree with all
you of your moves kind of hounded in that way. On one hand, I think in terms of them being human beings, it's been pretty appalling treatment of that couple, as you know, from the start. And I'm sure that there is a lot of inherent racism that is coming out in various forms through that. But then also thinking about the role and the sort of the value for money that the royal family provides to the taxpayer, there's multiple sides to this story, which makes it, I think, a little bit complex. And I can only imagine I have no idea what I'm talking about, but I can only imagine that for the royal family, any information that gets out that is about how they organize themselves, what their roles are, anything that offers the opportunity to question that is probably quite, not detrimental, but quite upsetting or alarming for them.
I'll tell you the thing that bothered me, and the Americans were commenting on it, you know, social media around here too. It was amazing. But the thing that struck me, and it still is my bottom line on it, is Prince Harry, and how he remains so hurt by the death of his mother that he blames, rightly so, on her being constantly hounded by paparazzi and the media and all these stories and so on and so forth. And we forget that he was a boy whenever his mother died. And it's easy to see that he would be traumatized by that, I think. And now when he's seeing the same thing happen to his wife, I can understand, as a human, I can understand his position perfectly, you know. I think it's very natural, quite frankly.
Yeah. But I do think this will have been pretty major news back in the UK while I've been away.
And it's not as if he's first in line to the throne anyway. I mean, he's like, well, fourth or fifth or something like that. I can never keep track of all that.
Yeah.
Well, at any rate, I was just wondering if it gets the kind of headlines there that it does. I know it does the yellow press, I want to say. There are certain newspapers in the UK who specialize in gossip.
Yes.
And pictures and stuff like that. And they've just been relentless, haven't they?
Yeah. They have been, yeah. It doesn't seem right. Nah.
Well, there's still a lot of newspapers. You know, here in the U.S., the number of print editions of newspapers are dwindling rapidly. They still have, because, you know, England, UK, had more than you could possibly imagine. If you go to a newsstand in London, they still have all those papers everywhere?
They definitely still have printed papers, yes. And it's one of my favorite things on the weekend, actually, if you go into the cafe, because all the cafes will get the papers in. And so if you go early enough, you can grab your paper and you can sit down and have your coffee and browse through. And there's a couple. I don't think it's probably not as many as, you know, there would have been. But there's some standards that are still in print and still in circulation. But everything's available online as well. So now you can get your digital subscription. And there's something about having the paper in your hand. I mean, I suppose as a designer, I'm a very tactile person. But, you know, a book or a paper, having that actually in your hand, I think there's something very satisfying about that.
In terms of, you know, getting a paper in the morning, I have a cup of coffee. I agree. I like to turn the pages, you know. I guess we'll have to change. I don't know. Gets a little expensive, though, to subscribe to, you know, any number of digital editions. But that's how they make their money these days.
Yeah. I don't know. All this changing technology.
The world changes. That could be a sign that we're getting older.
I don't know, maybe. I do feel like recently there's been a lot of comments I've made where I thought, oh, is that just because I'm feeling older now? Maybe.
What's London like in the wintertime? Do you get a lot of snow there?
We don't get that much snow. I mean, it definitely, temperature-wise, it can compare, but it usually gets a lot colder here than it does in London. And unfortunately, we don't get snow very often. I wish we did, but it never really sticks. So we might get some flurries, which is always really nice. But it's just, I think it's probably because there's so much heat from all of the hard surfaces in the city that when it does snow, it won't lay.
My producer, Pat Parker, tells me I need to get one final break in here. So
all right.
Let's do that, and we'll come back and reluctantly say goodbye to Kristen Hibbs here on the Friday edition of It's Your Turn on WISR. We'll be right back.
Why pay more when you can get tobacco for less? Their store in Pullman Square Plaza includes a custom walk-in humidor stocked with a great variety of cigars and a 19-foot vape juice bar, not to mention their Western Pennsylvania's largest glass emporium. The Tobacco for Less Health and Wellness Department supplies a wide selection of high-quality CBD products and is always adding to their product lines. For all your smoking and vaping needs, check out Tobacco for Less, with locations in Butler, Sharon, and Aliquippa.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler.
Kristen Hibbs visiting with us, and we appreciate her. She has limited time when she comes back to Butler to visit with family and friends, and we appreciate her stopping in to chat with us because it's always nice.
Oh, well, I enjoy it too.
Yeah. It's always nice to learn a little bit about someone from Butler who's been living in the UK now for some time. I'm still amazed that you can live in London, folks. It's so big. It's unimaginably big. I mean, you can go for hours, and it still looks like you stood on at the other end of it, you know?
I do think it pretty much takes you 40 minutes to get anywhere, and it doesn't matter whether it's close or far. It just feels like the city will easily suck 40 minutes of your time going from A to B. But there's just, the thing about London is because it's so old, all of the neighborhoods have such distinctive character that you get lots of nooks that feel small. And so as you start to figure out which areas of the city are, you know, your areas where your things are, then that starts to break down the scale of the city, I think. Different from, say, New York, where, you know, it was a planned city and you've got that relentless grid. And, of course, there's variation in those neighborhoods, but there's still something that ties it all together quite rigidly, whereas London, I think because you get these clusters of neighborhoods that, you know, are really old and very distinctive from each other, I think from a psychological point of view, it starts to break down the scale of the city. It is massive, and it's very fast-paced, and a friend once told me that he thinks that I always walk with purpose. Like, I always have a destination in mind that I'm late for, was his view.
What you need to do
on how I walk.
Do you, when you're a resident there, do you still take the tube, the underground?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I prefer to take the bus. I love to take the red bus because if you're not in a rush, I just adore watching the city go by.
And when you take the tube, you're underground. So
yes, you are. Yes.
Dark, But also old, by the way. I think it's the oldest subway system in the world, isn't it, London?
Is it the oldest? I'm not sure.
Certainly one of the oldest.
Yeah, could be. A couple of the lines might be, yeah. I mean, it's... I've always thought that it would be so amazing to build a 3D model. I mean, this probably exists. I should look it up. But a 3D model of the city, but as the underground, in order to see... Because we're building this enormous tunnel going through the city to create a new underground line.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The Queen Elizabeth line, which is connecting east to west all the way out to past Heathrow Airport. So it's this massive engineering feat. And sometimes the way they describe, they call it Crossrail, the way they describe the tolerance between the new tunnel that they're digging and the existing underground tunnels is, you know, we're talking like feet apart in some cases. And you just think the complexity, you can't see it. You don't know where you're going. It's amazing that these kinds of major feats of engineering can still happen today underground in such well-developed cities.
I took a trip. I got to let you go. I know we're past time here. On YouTube a couple of months ago, I popped a trip from London to Paris. So you go into the tunnel,
yes.
You know, the tunnel under the English Channel.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can, it's like you're sitting in a car doing it, you know, if you take it on YouTube. You go out of London for a while, and all of a sudden you go underground, and then you're under the English Channel, and then you pop up, you're in France.
Yeah, and you're like city center to city center.
Yeah.
It's remarkable.
Never have to get off the train.
Definitely the best way to get between the two cities.
You go through passport control while you're still in England, at least on the YouTube thing that I saw. So,
yeah.
Wow. Have you done it?
I have, yeah. Yeah. It's great.
How long are you under the English Channel? How long does that part
take? Oh, I mean, that's sort of the longest part of the trip, but I feel like it must be an hour.
Speaking of tolerances, you're thinking what's above you.
Oh, I know. Well, I try not to think too much about it.
Kristen, it's always a delight to see you.
Yes, thank you, Dave. Really nice to be in.
Thanks for making time for us.
Thank you.
Kristen Hibbs visiting with us today. That wraps up our program for the day and the week. Have a good weekend. I'm Dave Mullarky. We'll see you Monday on It's Your Turn here on WISR.